Hello, and warm greetings to our listeners of Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries Kids Program. My name is Ben Park. Welcome back to Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries Kids Broadcast. Why don't we begin with reading the Bible together? Our first program, Let's Read the Bible, will help us to listen to His words and teach us how to read on our own time. Now we have a devotional program for teenagers called Unlock. Our next program, Children's Bible Drama, will open our imagination world to portray characters in the Bible. And last, but not least, my favorite program, Daily Devotional, will wrap up the broadcast. I hope you have a blessed time rejoicing in God throughout this journey, and please invite your friends to begin this awesome journey together. Let's start with Let's Read the Bible.
Hello everyone, my name is Yuna Kang. I am the host of this program, Let's Read the Bible. During the time when the Apostle Paul sent a letter to the Roman Church, Jews and Gentiles gathered together in the church. Because the Savior, Jesus Christ, and Abraham, the root of salvation, were Jewish, the Jewish church members developed a pride for being Jews. To these people, the Apostle Paul consistently explains that being born Jews should not be important, and it should not be something to brag about. He explains that salvation is only given to those who are chosen by God. At times, even to this day, there are people that ask, if God decides not to give salvation to someone and did not choose that person, what else can that person do? They also ask, if someone wanted salvation but was not chosen by God and so could not be saved, isn't it unfair? At the time of the Apostle Paul, there were questions like these as well. For those that ask these kinds of questions, the Apostle Paul explains in Romans chapter 9, verses 19 through 33. Romans chapter 9, verse 21 through 23 says, isn't the potter free to make different kinds of pots out of the same lump of clay? Some are for special purposes. Others are for ordinary use. What if God chose to show His great anger? What if He chose to make His power known? But He put up with the people He was angry with. They were made to be destroyed. What if He put up with them to show the riches of His glory to other people? Those other people are the ones He shows His mercy to. He made them to receive His glory. When listening to this message from the Apostle Paul, it seems like he is saying, if God, the Lord, decides this, it is what it is. No one can go against His words. Of course, His words are right. Because God is the creator of everything and the Lord of all creatures, He can use them for any purpose and no one can complain about it. However, we cannot think that what He does is absurd or evil. We cannot think this because anything that God does is not bad. It is always good and righteous because God's character has no evil. The Apostle Paul continues to explain, when God decides one thing and carries out His decision, no one can oppose His plans, good or evil. However, despite His omnipotence, God declares that only people who are righteous by faith, not by their actions, will be given salvation. God does not randomly select people and give them the grace of salvation. He does not give saving grace by drawing lots at random. God, who knows each person, recognizes His people and saves them. In the end, God will not save the Jews and destroy the Gentiles because of how they were born. Instead, He saves those who know God and come before Jesus Christ through faith. In Romans chapter 9, verse 33, it says, it is written, look, in Zion, I am laying a stone that causes people to trip. It is a rock that makes them fall. The one who believes in Him will never be put to shame. I hope that we can believe the fact that those who believe in God will never be put to shame, but receive salvation. And by believing in this fact, I hope that we can all come to salvation. Now, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please give us grace so that we do not look at ourselves, but look up to the Lord. Please help our faith grow in Jesus through Your grace. In the name of Jesus we pray, Amen. Now, let's read the Bible. Today, Elliot E. from California will read the book of Romans chapter 9, verses 19 through 33 from NIRV. I hope you all have a great week, and I hope you will join us again next week. Until then, God bless.
Hello, my name is Elliot Yi. I'm 14 years old, and I live in California. Today I'm going to read Romans chapter 9 from verses 19 through 33. Let's read the Bible. One of you will say to me, "Then why does God still blame us? Who can oppose what he wants to do?" But you are a mere human being, so who are you to talk back to God? Scripture says, "Can what is made easy to the one who made it? Why did you make me like this? Isn't the potter free to make different kinds of pots out of the same lump of clay? Some are for special purposes, others are for ordinary use. What if God chose to show his great anger? What if he chose to make his power known? But he put up with the people he was angry with. They were made to be destroyed. What if he put up with them to show the riches of his glory to other people? Those other people are the ones he shows his mercy to. He made them to receive his glory. We are those people. He has chosen us. We do not come only from the Jewish race. Many of us are not Jews. God says in Hosea, 'I will call those who are not my people, my people. I will call the one who is not my loved one, my loved one.' He also says, 'Once it was said to them, you are not my people,' in that very place they will be called children of the living God. Isaiah cries out concerning Israel. He says, 'The number of people from Israel may be like the sand by the sea, but only a few of them will be saved.' The Lord will carry out his sentence. He will be quick to carry out on earth once and for all. Earlier, Isaiah had said, 'The Lord who rules over all left us children and grandchildren.' If he hadn't, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been like Gomorrah. What should we say then? Gentiles did not look for a way to be right with God, but they found it by having faith. The people of Israel tried to obey the law to make themselves right with God, but they didn't reach their goal of being right with God. Why not? Because they tried to do it without faith. They tried to be right with God by what they did. They tripped over the stone that causes people to trip and fall. It is written, 'Look, in Zion I am laying a stone that causes people to trip. It is a rock that makes them fall. The one who believes in him will never be put to shame.'" This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to read your word today. Please forgive us, for we are only stubborn, short-minded, mere humans who do not stay faithful to you. Though you stay faithful, we do not. Therefore, we thank you again and again for continuously staying faithful to such sinful people like us. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
Joy that seeketh me through pain.
Following is a devotional program for teens called Unlocked. You can recommend this program to your older brothers and sisters. There will be two episodes every week. Here is the first episode.
Why did Jesus hang out with people who others rejected? Hey there, I'm Andrew Stevens, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. Parables in the Bible are really allegories, and it's amazing what you can learn from allegories. We just had one yesterday for our devotion. Today, we're going to take a closer look at what you could call a biblical allegory, one of these parables that Jesus actually told. Today's devotion was written by Becca Werwell and is called Leaving the 99. One of my favorite Bible passages is Jesus' parable of the lost sheep. I'm amazed by the idea of a God who loves his children so much that he would leave the 99 to chase down one. Just picture this story for a moment and imagine what you would do if you were the shepherd. If you had 100 sheep and you lose one, do you choose to leave behind the rest of your flock, all 99 sheep, to pursue the one who's missing? If this were me, I don't think I'd leave behind 99 healthy sheep to chase after one sheep who may or may not still be alive. But the shepherd in Jesus' parable goes after the lost sheep, carries it back on his shoulders, and celebrates its safe return with joy. This parable is Jesus' response to the Jewish religious leaders who muttered against him for hanging out with notorious sinners, like tax collectors who overcharged to fill their own pockets, and prostitutes. These people were rejected by the religious community, but not by Jesus. He says there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. In correcting the religious leaders, Jesus reveals the heart of God. He always wants to save people who've gone their own way against him, who've gotten lost. God longs for everyone to repent, to turn around, and to come to him. That's why he sent Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who rescues us sinners and brings us home to God. We all need Jesus, and if we put our trust in his life, death, and resurrection, all heaven rejoices that we are his forever. And as Jesus' forgiven followers, we get to follow Jesus' example. Instead of shunning fellow sinners, we get to welcome those with messy, hurting hearts because Jesus longs to bring us all home. Because Jesus first loved us, we get to show overflowing grace and love to others. And when we are lost and hurting, Jesus will leave the 99 to draw us back to him and reunite us with the flock. So let's talk about this. What are some questions going through your mind right now? Why did Jesus hang out with people who others rejected? If you need some help answering this one, check out Mark chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. How does the strength of God's love for you make it possible for you to love those around you? As you and I can read in Luke chapter 15, verse 4, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Now, I'd encourage you to read in your Bible Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7, which includes that verse we just read, as well as John 10, 11 through 18, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, and 1 John 4, 7 through 21, to help keep God's Word alive in your life. Unlocked is a service of Keys for Kids Ministries. Have you checked out our Instagram page lately? We would love to connect with you. Just search for @UnlockedDevo for almost daily updates, a good laugh every once in a while, and an occasional peek behind the scenes of Unlocked. Now be sure to check back tomorrow because Emily is going to be taking a look at the heart. But until then, I'm Andrew, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Here is the second episode of Unlocked.
What failures are you mourning right now? Hey there, I'm Andrew Stevens, and you're listening to Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. The question in the title of today's devotion, Have You Failed?, is one that I think both you and I have to answer yes to. There are times where we do make mistakes, and we do have failures in our lives. The question is, though, what do we do about that? And what does God's Word have to say about that? We're going to look a little bit closer in today's devotion that was written by Anna M. Gregory. When I was working at a bank, a lady came to the door. I tried to explain that the inside doors were shut, but she could still go through the drive-up. She didn't understand what I was trying to say, though. She left, not knowing she could have done what she came to the bank to do. I felt horrible. I thought I should have opened the door and made sure she understood before she left. I failed. But God still loves me when I fail. And I'm not the only one. Peter failed many times. He even denied Jesus before they hung him on the cross. 3 times, Peter denied he even knew his Savior. And Jesus still took Peter back into the fold. After Jesus rose from the dead, he assured Peter that he still loved him and wanted him to do the work God set for him to do. Jesus told Peter, "Feed my sheep." Jesus wanted Peter to continue to show his love to others, telling people how much Jesus loves them and how he gave his life for them. As a forgiven follower of Jesus, I want to help others understand how much he loves them. Jesus wants everyone to put their trust in him, to come in and become part of his family, and to live and reign with him forever. And there are so many who still haven't come in. Every single one of us has failed, but no matter how bad the failure, Jesus still has plans for our good. Jesus' death and resurrection are enough to cover all our sins. And because he is so amazingly good, he can even use our failures as opportunities to show his love. When you fail, Jesus still loves you, and he still wants you. Every time you fail, Jesus wants to bring you close to himself, reassure you of his love, and empower you to be part of the good work he's doing. So let's talk about this. What are some questions going through your mind right now? What failures are you mourning right now? How does Jesus comfort us in these times? If you know Jesus, you're not defined by your failures. Your identity is found in Jesus and his death and resurrection. When you start believing the lie that you are defined by your failures, who are trusted Christians who can remind you of the truth? As you and I can read in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, it is because of Yahweh's loving kindness that we are not consumed, because his compassion doesn't fail. Now, I'd encourage you to read in your Bible Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34, as well as Luke 22, 54 through 62, and John chapter 21, 15 through 19, to help keep God's Word alive in your life. Unlocked is a service of Keys for Kids Ministries. Check out our new verse picks. We took this quarter's artwork, along with the Bible verse from the same devotion, and created an image you can download for free. You can set it as your wallpaper or lock screen on your phone, share it with friends, or even on social media. To find them, all you have to do is look in the Unlocked app and at unlocked.org. Now, be sure to check back tomorrow because Emily is going to be taking a look at how we can be waiting on his plan. But until then, I'm Andrew, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
No matter what the odds may be.
Following is a program, Children's Bible Drama.
Hello, everyone. It's June from the Judges' version of Children's Bible Drama. After the judges Tola and Jair died, the Israelites left God and served other gods. They served more gods than ever before, but they didn't serve the one true God who had saved them. God was disappointed and angry at them, so he gave strength to the Ammonites who were east of Israel and allowed them to rule over Israel. He also gave strength to the Philistines who were west of Israel and then allowed them to rule over Israel. Because of disobedience, Israel was now oppressed from both the east and the west. Eventually, they realized their sin and repented before God. Until now, when the Israelites called upon God during distress, God chose judges and saved them right away when they repented. However, this time, God said he would not save them even though they desperately called upon him and repented. God told the Israelites to ask the countless gods they served to save them. It seems as though God was very disappointed by the Israelites. The Israelites didn't give up at God's response. Instead, they began to cleanse themselves to become right before God.
Let's hurry and destroy and get rid of the things that belong to all the idols among us.
Yes, of course. Let's hurry and destroy this altar of Baal.
Yes, that's good. We have done a great wrong before God. Only our Lord God has saved us. How could we give sacrifice to the other gods of foreigners? We should be ashamed before God. Although God allows the Ammonites and Philistines to oppress us, we have no excuse.
You're right. We have no just complaint. We have brought this upon ourselves.
Even though God may not save us this time, we must not forsake him. There's nowhere we can go besides God. Let's get rid of the idols among us and serve God wholeheartedly.
Yes!
The Israelites made themselves holy and diligently served God more than any other time. They got rid of all the idols among them and daily went before God to seek him and offer sacrifice. Despite that, the tyranny from the Philistines and the Ammonites was getting worse day by day. They severely tormented the Israelites, and the Israelites suffered even more. God heard the sound of the Israelites groaning in distress. God said he would no longer save Israel, but it was painful for him to hear the sound of the people suffering.
My people are suffering. My heart is in pain. Although they denied me, they are my people, so I cannot reject them.
God was concerned with the sound of Israel's suffering, and he would save them again. There was an amazing change among the Israelites. As they got rid of all the idols among them and served God, they began to gain courage in the oppression of the Ammonites and Philistines.
Everyone, The Ammonites are camping in Gilead, our land. Let's gather our strength and fight them.
Yes, that's good. Let's fight. Let's gather our strength.
The people of Gilead and the elders gathered and decided to fight against the Ammonites. Many people were gathered. However, they have not fought until now, so they didn't know how to fight.
Elder, many people have gathered to fight, but shouldn't we have a general to lead us in fight?
Yes, that's right. Who will do that for us?
They were ready to fight, but no one was able to step forward and said he would be the general and lead the battle. It's because they have never fought. Then one person spoke.
Elder, do you remember Jephthah?
Oh, I remember. Gilead, who was the leader of this region of Gilead, had a son named Jephthah with a concubine. Yes, that's right. Jephthah is exceptional in fighting. That's right. He's fit for a general. Where is Jephthah right now?
Didn't we drive him out because he wasn't the son of Gilead's wife, but of the concubine? I believe he's living with some scoundrels in the land of Tob.
Oh, I see. I am ashamed to do this because of how he was treated by us, but let's go find him and make a request.
The people in the region of Gilead decided to go find Jephthah, who they drove out and make a request. It's similar to how they are seeking the Lord God whom they have forsaken and asking for help. Will Jephthah listen to the Gilead people's request? I'll see you next time from the Judges version of Children's Bible Drama. Goodbye.
Would you like to listen to Daily Devotional again? If you go to our homepage, you can find Daily Devotional Summary and listen again by playing the file. Please visit www.heartandsoul.org. That is www.heartandseoul.org and click listen at the top of the page. Then scroll down to Daily Devotional Guide. If you have any questions, please call us at 602-866-8999. Thank you.
Following this program, Daily Devotional provided by Keys for Kids Ministries. Every week, we will listen to Monday through Friday's Daily Devotional. I hope you can listen to one devotional a day during the week. Now it's time for Monday's Daily Devotional.
Our cousin's eye infection is finally gone. She had to try a lot of things before it healed.
It was a miracle that she was healed, and that's not even the biggest miracle God has ever done. Do you believe in miracles? Well, today's story might help. As always, I'm Zach. This is Keys for Kids. When you think of God's miracles, you might think of Jesus feeding thousands of people or healing the sick and the blind. Those are certainly impressive, but they're not the most important miracles. The greatest miracle I'm talking about is salvation, when you repent of your sins and follow Jesus. Then He changes your heart and the Holy Spirit works to make you more like Himself. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, "Anyone who is in Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun." Our story today is called The Greatest Miracle. "Was that Aunt Julie?" asked Logan as his mother hung up the phone. "Yes, it was," replied Mom with a big smile. "She said the infection in Maria's eye had completely cleared up. That is such a blessing." "Yeah," said Logan as he thought back over the past few months. "She's been taking one medicine after another, and the doctors even thought she'd need eye surgery. I'm glad we kept praying for her." "What's going on?" asked Logan's sister Tanya as she came into the room. Logan told her what Aunt Julie had said. "All right," said Tanya. "It's like God did a miracle for her, isn't it? She must be feeling really good about that." Tanya sat down at the table. "Wouldn't it be cool to have God do a miracle in your life?" Logan grinned at his sister. "What miracle would you want? It wouldn't be to get over an illness since you're already healthy." He scratched his head and pretended to think about it. "I know. Maybe you'd want to become the kind, helpful, loving sister your wonderful brother deserves to have." "Ha!" Tanya playfully swatted at him. "I'm already a more terrific sister than my baby brother deserves." "Actually, God has already performed a wonderful miracle in each of your lives," Mom said. "He has? When was that?" asked Tanya. "Yeah, Mom, what miracle are you talking about?" Logan asked. "I know God's given us lots of blessings, but they're not really miracles, are they? Not the kind we're thinking of." "No," Mom agreed. "I wasn't thinking of everyday blessings either, though sometimes the way God provides for us can be miraculous. I was thinking of the miracle of salvation. When Jesus saves us, He changes our hearts and lives. He takes away our sin and gives us new life, and the Holy Spirit works in our lives to make us more like Him." "More like Jesus?" Logan grinned. "So He did do a miracle in Tanya's life to make her more kind, helpful, and loving." Tanya laughed. "Yeah, and He did the same for you when you trusted in Jesus. Salvation is the greatest miracle of all." So how about you? Has Jesus done a miracle in your life? Many people look for miracles to prove that God's power is real, but they fail to recognize the greatest miracle of all, a changed life. God still does wonderful, miraculous things, like healing diseases or giving protection in dangerous situations. But the most wonderful miracle of all is salvation through Jesus. You can experience that miracle today. To learn more about it, get your parents' permission and go to keysforkids.org/salvation. Our key verse is found in the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians 5:17.
"Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun."
And our key thought for today, salvation is a miracle.
I'm Isaac, I'm 10 years old and I live in Brazil, and I love listening to Keys for Kids, especially when I'm doing my schoolwork. Thank you so much, I love listening to Keys for Kids.
And thank you for spending time with me. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
This is time for Tuesday's Daily Devotional.
can Mom be so happy today? She has cancer surgery tomorrow, and then she has to get chemotherapy.
Your mom trusts in God to take care of her. Can you trust God in tough situations too? Welcome to a brand new week right here at Keys for Kids. My name is Zach, and I've got a week's worth of story and scripture to encourage you. You know, it's easy to believe in God when everything's going right, but what about when things aren't going so well? Do you find it difficult to put your faith in God then? If you do, remember that Jesus loves you and has promised to be with you when times are good and when times are bad. He died and rose again so that you'll spend eternity with Him in heaven. But until then, you can rest assured that He'll always stand by you, just like He said in the book of Hebrews, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Well, let's listen to our story. The title is Every Step. "Mom's going to the hospital for her surgery tomorrow," Amelia thought as she stomped angrily down the stairs. "And then she has to have all that chemotherapy. I know that it's to kill remaining cancer cells, but it will probably make her lose her long, beautiful hair." Amelia wiped away a tear. And what if she dies? As Amelia reached the bottom step, she heard her mother talking to Aunt Diane on the phone and laughing. "How can Mom be happy on such a miserable day?" Amelia wondered. When Mom finished talking with Aunt Diane, she fixed breakfast for Amelia. A sausage link arranged as a smile on top of a pancake with two blueberries for eyes. Amelia frowned. "How can you be happy today?" she asked. "I'm so scared." "It's a scary situation," agreed Mom. "But we can trust Jesus to be with us through this and work everything out for our good." Amelia began to cry. "Oh, Mom," she sobbed, "I don't want you to die." Mom knelt beside Amelia's chair. "Honey, God has all things under His control," she said, giving Amelia a hug. "The doctors expect me to make a full recovery, but I'm trusting Jesus because no matter what happens, I know I have eternal life with Him. He'll be there for both of us. The Bible says God is watching every step I take, and every step you take too." "Yes, but," Amelia sniffed and sighed deeply, "it's hard to trust when you're afraid." "I know," Mom said. "But it should be easier for us to trust God than all the other things we trust every day." "Like what?" asked Amelia. "Well," Mom looked around, "I heard you stomp pretty hard down the stairs this morning, so you apparently trust the steps in this old house, even though they've gotten a bit rickety over the years. If our old stairs can support your angry steps, don't you think God can support our every step in life?" Amelia nodded slowly. "But what if your hair falls out, Mom?" "Then we'll save money on shampoo for a while," said Mom with a grin. Amelia had to smile. "Mom is trusting God every step, and I'll do that too," she decided. So how about you? Do you trust God when everything seems to be going wrong? When you face hard situations, remember that He is in control. He loves you and promises to help you through scary and difficult times. Jesus died and rose again so you could live with Him forever, and He'll work everything in your life out for good. Every step you take, He'll be with you. You can trust in Him. Our key verse is found in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9.
"We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps."
And our key thought today, trust God in difficult times. Partner with Keys for Kids Radio to spread the gospel around the world. You can do that by giving a $5 monthly donation today at keysforkids.net and click donate. Well, my name is Zach. Thanks for listening to Keys for Kids.
Here was Wednesday's daily devotional.
"Why does my Sunday school teacher make us look up the Bible verses? Can't he just tell us what they say?"
Mr. Larson knows you need to learn to use your Bible just like a sword. Guess what? You're listening to Keys for Kids, and my name is Zach. Thanks for joining me today. A brave knight doesn't go into battle without a sword, right? Well, then why would a Christian start his or her day without reading the Bible? After all, Ephesians calls the Bible the sword of the Spirit. We can't fight against Satan if we aren't armed with God's truth. That's why it's so important for you to pay attention during devotion, Sunday school, and church. You should also get into the habit of reading your Bible on a regular basis. That way, you'll always be ready to protect yourself from the devil's lies. Let's listen to our story now. It's entitled, Unarmed. "I have a little story to start our class today," Mr. Larson announced to his Sunday school class. "It has a lesson that goes along with today's Bible verse." "Oh, no," said Anthony. "I forgot my Bible again." "Well, you can scoot your chair over and look on with Terrence," Mr. Larson said. "Okay," said Anthony, moving his chair. "But why do you always have us look up stuff in our Bibles, Mr. Larson? Why don't you just tell us what it says?" "The verses that we'll be reading should help you understand that, and I think my story about a knight will help too," said Mr. Larson. The kids looked up eagerly as he began. "Sir Frederick was a very proud knight. He was always willing to go into battle to protect his country. But when he came face to face with his enemy on the battlefield one day, Sir Frederick discovered he had a serious problem. 'I forgot my sword,' he cried out. 'I have nothing to fight with.' And it wasn't long before the enemy captured Sir Frederick." The kids laughed. It seemed funny for a knight to forget his sword. "Now, let's look in our Bibles," said Mr. Larson. "Terrence, would you read Ephesians 6:17, please?" "Sure," said Terrence. "Let's see. Here it is. It says, 'Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.'" "Like Sir Frederick, Christians are in a battle," said Mr. Larson. "We're in a battle against Satan, and we need our sword, the Bible. It helps us fight Satan's attacks by reminding us we've been saved by Jesus and belong to him. When Satan tries to tempt us or make us think God doesn't love us, we can wield the truth of God's word and remember that Jesus defeated sin and Satan when he died on the cross to save us. That's why I ask you to read from your Bibles. Just carrying them along to church isn't what helps you. You need to learn what it says by listening in church and reading God's word for yourself." Mr. Larson held up his Bible. "Without this, you're like unarmed soldiers." "Well, I'm bringing my Bible, my sword, next week," Anthony declared. "Good," said Mr. Larson. "Then you'll be ready for battle." So, what about you? Are you wielding your sword, the Bible? Do you listen to your pastors and teachers when they talk about what it says? And do you read it for yourself? It's important to know what God says in His Word. It's part of the armor you need to fight Satan, who wants you to believe his lies instead of God's truth, that Jesus has won the war against sin and death. So, bring your sword into battle. Our key verse is found in the New Testament book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 17.
"Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God."
And our key thought for today, use your Bible. There's even more great music and programs for you on Keys for Kids Radio. Visit keysforkids.net to tune in today. Well, my name is Zach, and I'm glad that you joined me today on Keys for Kids.
Coming up next is Thursday's Daily Devotional.
Jordan said he was going to hurt himself, but it seemed like he was joking. Should I tell the teacher anyway?
There's no joke. When it comes to suicide, it's important to talk to a trusted adult about it. Hi, I'm Zach, and you're tuned in to Keys for Kids. If you hear a friend say they plan to hurt themselves, it's nothing to laugh about. Don't be afraid to speak up, even if it seems like they're joking. The best thing to do is tell a trusted adult so your friend can get the help they need. Remember, Satan is a liar. He would like to make people feel like they're not valuable. But Jesus came to show us how much God truly loves us, just like he says in John chapter 10, verse 10. "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Our story today is called A Life Worth Living. And by the way, our story may not be suitable for all children. Noah heard Jordan sigh when Miss Wolf handed back his science test. "School stinks," Jordan declared. "I hate tests. I think I'll just kill myself." Noah gave him a worried look. "Come on, it can't be that bad." "But it is," Jordan insisted. "I got an F." As the class headed to the cafeteria for lunch, Noah had a nervous, jumpy feeling inside. He couldn't stop thinking about what Jordan had said. He probably didn't mean it, Noah thought. It's not that big of a deal. But he couldn't get Jordan's words out of his mind. "Please help me do the right thing, Jesus," Noah prayed. "Do I need to tell someone about what he said?" Later, during quiet reading time, Noah went up to Miss Wolf's desk. "I need to tell you something," he said. Miss Wolf listened as Noah told her what Jordan had said. "You did the right thing telling me, Noah," said Miss Wolf. "I will let our school counselor know and we'll decide what to do." Noah returned to his seat feeling relieved. That evening, Noah's parents called him to the kitchen. "Miss Wolf just called," Mom said. "The school and Jordan's parents are very thankful you cared enough to say something to your teacher. They'll make sure he gets help." "Good," said Noah. "I wasn't sure if he was joking, but it didn't seem like something he should joke about." "It's not," said Dad. "Suicide is very serious. A kid who talks about taking their own life, even in a joking manner, may be going through difficult things and need help." "Can I invite Jordan over sometime?" asked Noah. "I think he could use a friend. He usually plays by himself and never seems very happy. Maybe I'll have a chance to tell him Jesus wants to be his friend too." "That's a great idea," Dad said. "Jesus understands what Jordan is going through. He died on the cross and then rose again to give him hope. He wants to help Jordan handle whatever is hard for him. Why don't we pray for Jordan right now?" Noah nodded and they all bowed their heads. "Jesus," Dad prayed, "please let Jordan know you love him and that his life is worth living. Help Noah know how to be a good friend to him. Amen." So what about you? Do you ever see kids who seem sad or upset? Have you even heard them say life isn't worth living? Suicide is no joking matter, and it's important to speak up if you or someone you know is having thoughts like that. Tell an adult if someone says something that concerns you. Bring hope to those who are hurting by getting them the help they need and pointing them to Jesus. Our key verse is found in the Gospel of John chapter 10, verse 10.
"The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life."
And our key thought for today, Jesus offers hope to the hurting. Well, my name is Zach. Thanks for taking the time to listen to Keys for Kids today. I hope to see you right back here tomorrow.
Next is Friday's daily devotional.
Why doesn't Mom just get rid of that picture frame? It never hangs straight, so she's always fixing it.
The frame is special to her, so instead of throwing it away, she gives it a little grace. You're tuned in to the one and only Keys for Kids, a great way to grow your faith in God. As always, I'm Zach, and as always, I'm super glad that you're here. Do you know what grace is? No, it's not just the prayer we say before we eat meals. Grace is undeserved favor. It's when we don't get disciplined, even though we deserve to. Think of it. We've all done bad things, and God could punish us if he wanted, but instead, he gives us grace. In John chapter 1, verse 16, Jesus reminded his followers exactly where this grace comes from when he said, "For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace." Let's listen to our story now. It's entitled, "The Frame on the Wall." "Why do you always do that?" asked Miley as she watched her mom adjust the crooked frame on their wall. Mom laughed. "It won't hang straight, and I want to keep it up here." Miley shook her head. "You should just buy a new frame." "I like this one," Mom said. It just needs a little grace. The next day, Miley noticed her mom by the frame again, trying to get it so that it sat perfectly straight. "It's not going to stay like that, Mom. You know it isn't." Mom turned toward her. "Do you remember going with your dad to pick out this frame?" Miley shook her head. "It was the last time he took you shopping," Mom said quietly. "This frame is special to me, and it just needs a little grace." She nodded toward the kitchen. "Cookies?" "Sure." Miley walked slowly into the other room. "That frame has me thinking." Mom pulled a gallon of milk out of the refrigerator. "It really means a lot to me, so I'm willing to adjust it a little and care for it so that it sits right on the wall." She smiled at Miley. "It's kind of like how God gently nudges us when we aren't sitting right." Miley wrinkled her eyebrows. "Huh?" Mom set a glass of milk in front of her. "Remember how I said I felt bad about all the gossiping I was doing at work?" Miley nodded. "And I told you I gossip at school, too." "Right," Mom said. "I think that was God nudging us, adjusting us, showing us a little grace as he worked on us." Mom handed Miley a cookie on a plate. "God doesn't just tear us off the wall when we sin and throw us away. He saved us because we're special to him, and he's working to make us more like Jesus. He gives us second chances. He wants us to stay on the wall because he cares about us." "Even though we're not perfect?" Miley asked. Mom nodded. "Someday, when Jesus gets rid of sin forever, we will be. But we don't have to be perfect for him to love us." So how about you? Do you feel guilty when you mess up? Do you think God might not forgive you for what you've done and stop caring about you? That could never happen. God loves you even though you're not perfect. He sent his son to die for you so you could have eternal life with him. When you do something wrong, he shows you grace. So trust him to forgive you and adjust you so you're more like Jesus. Our key verse is John chapter 1, verse 16.
Out of his fullness we've all received grace, in place of grace already given.
And our key thought. God gives you grace.
Hey, Zach, why doesn't God always answer all prayers?
Hey, Alexander, I'm so glad to get your question. God does answer our prayers. However, the answer might not be what you wanted the answer to be, or it might take a little while for God to answer it how you hoped. Keep praying and trusting God for his answer. God is faithful to answer our prayers always. Alexander, I hope that helps you. Thanks for writing to me. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Holy, holy you are, worthy, worthy you are, honor,
we give to
Wasn't that another blasting time doing the daily devotionals? How much closer did you get to Jesus today? Make sure to share this amazing story with your family. Hope that this experience doesn't stop here, but continue to learn about Jesus' teachings by reading the Bible, praying to Jesus, and praising Him this week. Well then, I'll catch you later.